All right, before we get to the sheets, just a couple of things. The reason why Rosh Chodesh Yeshiva is not here yet is because they heard this earlier on in the week. And two little vartlach on the Megillah, which I think are kedai. They're my own chedushim, so you can like them or not like them. That's up to you. I like them. So it's on. It's on. But they're coming up in like 10 minutes, but I told them they can come up now. Michael obviously wanted to hear it twice.
I didn't know that.
Right, you didn't know. The rest of the guys, they already heard it, so they're coming up in like five minutes. To hear the meat and potatoes. Right, this is the side dish. All right, Lamaisa, we say in the Megillah, and this also is in Yonah Dioma, not because of Karma, but because of Tainus Esther. Many people are mistaken. They think that Tainus Esther is the day that Mordechai told Esther, you have to go to the king, and she said, Tzumolai, fast for me, right? Tzumolai, fast for me, right? I'll talk about Tishtu, and, that's what, you know, it's a very big misconception in regards to the story of Purim and in regards to what we commemorate on the day of Tainus Esther. Today does not commemorate that day. How do I know? You'll hear from this part in a second. It says Tzumolai. I had this question for many years, 3 years to be exact, many, many years ago. Tzumolai, what are you doing on a fast day? What are we not doing today?
We don't eat.
So then why does the Megillah say right after that, Tzumolai, al toichlu, v'al tishnu. Don't eat and don't drink. So obviously, this is coming to teach you a lesson. We're coming to teach you something that we may not have known. Because otherwise, it's superfluous. It's extra. We don't need it. Okay? Tzumolai, a fast day, we don't eat and we don't drink. So what is it coming to teach us? So the very next pasuk says, Vayavar Mordechai. And Mordechai was Avar. Vayas k'chol asher tzitza az Esther. And he did everything that Esther had commanded him to do. Okay? So the Gra says, Gra asks a question. It says, why does the pasuk say Vayavar Mordechai? Just say Vayas Mordechai. Mordechai did everything Esther commanded him to do. What's Vayavar Mordechai? Vayas. Vayavar Vayas. What's pshat in that? So he wants to say, he brings down the Gemara and Megillah that says that these days, these 3 days that she said, Shloshes Yom, she said to fast for me, coincided with which Yontif? Yontif of Pesach. Pesach, not Purim. Pesach. Purim didn't happen. So he says, Vayavar Mordechai, okay? Vayavar Mordechai is going on that Mordechai was over on this mitzvah of Pesach. Okay? He was over on this mitzvah of Pesach. For the Rabbi Schneider here, I'm just repeating what we said over a few days ago. Okay? Okay? So again, the Gemara says Vayavar Mordechai means what? Vayavar means that he was over on a mitzvah, he was over on mitzvah sases, he was over on mitzvah los sases of Pesach. Okay? So that's how we know that this Tzumolai, this fast that we're referring to over here, is not the fast day that we commemorate today. It's a totally different fast day that we don't commemorate now. It was referring to something that happened on Pesach. So the Wasi Al Toichlu of Al Tishtu comes, Pshat, to say like this, Al Toichlu, even though on Pesach, even though the fast is going to fall out of Pesach and we have an obligation to eat matzah and mar, Al Toichlu. Still, Esther told Mordechai, don't eat matzah and mar on this Pesach. And even though there's an obligation to drink the alakosis of wine, on this Pesach, Tzumolai, al tishtu, don't drink 4 cups of wine either. Okay? So that's the first idea. The second idea, which Mashiach heard already, is we say later on in the Megillah when as we say, all Gehenna breaks loose in regards to Haman and his world. When Esther told Achashverosh that there's somebody who wants to wipe out my people and wipe out my nation, so Achashverosh said, Mihu zeh ve'ezahu. Okay, Mihu zeh ve'ezahu. Who is this and which is the one? Why the double lashon? All right, the Malbim asks, why the double lashon? And he also asks, I don't understand, wasn't Achashverosh the one who signed on the paper? Didn't he know what was going on? He knew who is being annihilated over here. So like, what, why is he playing dumb over here? So the Medrash Rabbah on Megillas Esther brings down. There are 2 reasons why Achashverosh, as much as there was a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism in those days, and a lot of people hated the Jews, but still at the end of the day, Achashverosh had a certain love, had a certain liking towards the Jews for 2 particular reasons. Number one is that he considered them extremely valuable people in regards to etza, das, advice. He would call Mordechai for many, many things. Many of you know the Medrash, that he used Mordechai and Haman as generals for his army to defeat one of his countries, that he couldn't defeat. He confided in Mordechai many, many times. He trusted him. He's someone that he respected and valued, and therefore Ahasuerus's opinion of the Jewish people in general was, a more likable situation, because he felt that they were, you know, these people have something to add to society, which is why Haman said exactly what he said. This is a people that they're trying to get out of society. They're trying to do their own thing. They don't want to do what the king wants to do. He was trying to convince Ahasuerus that his mindset wasn't the right mindset. So that's the first reason why he liked him a lot. Second reason why he liked him a lot is because he understood, as much of a Russia as Ahasuerus was, and he was a Russia, but he still understood, as the Medrash says, that Klal Yisrael were the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the world was created from the Torah. The Torah was created for the Jewish people. And therefore, if you wipe out the Jewish people, there's no way you're going to have a world. You're not going to have a Torah. You're not going to have a world. There's no point in all of existence if you don't have a Torah. So I wanted to suggest that Mihu Zeh, the Ezahu, refers to these two reasons. The Ahasuerus says, Ahasuerus wasn't playing dumb. Amaisa, no one ever told Ahasuerus exactly where Esther was from. We all know that. The Megillah does not say that Esther told him. The whole thing was a secret. Midrashim said that he did know, but according to the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk, he had no idea who her people was. So when he said Mihu Zeh Ve'Ezahu, he's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. But the Mihu Zeh Ve'Ezahu is not 100%, and this is why we're going to flow from this Dvar Torah right into the sugya of Ad Lo Yada, because the end, the Sikkum, the whole ending comes out with this idea that when Ahasuerus signed on the paper, he didn't have full intentions to wipe out this nation called Klal Yisrael. He did not have full intentions. How do we know that? Mihu Zeh Ve'Ezahu, Asher Melo Libo La'Asken, who would fill his heart to do something like that. I didn't have a full heart to do this. I thought, whatever, you kill a few people here and there, Haman, kill who you need to kill, whatever it is, and then whatever, the whole thing will calm down a little bit. Mihu Zeh Ve'Ezahu, who would kill such a people for the first reason that I mentioned? Because they're very, very wise people and good people to have around. I value them. And Ve'Ezahu, who could possibly do something like this? It's impossible to kill Klal Yisrael. They're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's absolutely impossible. So that's a pshat. We're going to go into this concept. Last night, I was Rabbi Schneider had this idea of Vinahapachu, of making me the Rebbe and him the Meshev. I disagree with that concept, because I'm the Meshev, Rabbi Schneider is the Rebbe, and I just stepped in for a day to give share. So Vinahapachu replies to Purim. It's not Purim yet. So on Friday at my house, you could be the Meshev, and I could be the Rebbe, and everything's all fine. Anyways, I was going through the Sugya of Ad Lo Yada, because it really bothered me, right? And it should bother everybody, right? Ad Lo Yada, it's our favorite mitzvah. Yet, at the same time, nobody has any idea, really, what the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yada really means. So I decided to get into it a little bit, and with the help of about, 20 Sfarim, I finally got a little bit of clarity, and I'm going to come out at the end with a little bit of a... I hope the Ramah forgives me, and I hope Rava forgives me, I hope the Shulchan Aruch, I hope a lot of people forgive me. And then there's outside of this, there are a lot of people in the world I hope forgive me. But whoever's on my perm suit, I hope you forgive me in advance. Anyways, Lamaisa, you all did the Maimer Komos. We start off the Pasuk that brings down all the Psukim, right? All the Psukim. We have all the mitzvahs, Shalach Manos, Matanos of Yonim, Yimei Mishta. Okay, so everybody said we don't know that Yimei Mishta refers to the Suda that we're referring to on Purim, and there's a mitzvah to get drunk. There's a mitzvah to have a Suda, and there's a mitzvah to drink wine on Purim. Comes the Gemara Megillah, we have Rabbah's statement, Ad Lo Yada, Bein Ara Haman, and Baruch Mordechai. Okay, right after that, you have a story, which you all know, it's a very famous story, Rabbah and Rav Zera, where Rabbah and Rav Zera joined together on Purim, and Rabbah got up and he shechted Rav Zera. Okay, so Derech Agav, there's a marsha that explains this Gemara. It's a very famous marsha. that it doesn't literally mean that he shechted Reb Zera. What is it referring to? It refers to that Rabbah gave Reb Zera so much to drink that he got so deathly sick from drinking that he was not the lamanus, he was about to die. That's how sick he was, that's what the Marsha says. And Rabbah had to daven for Refu Shalema. And he says that the Lashon Chai, the Lashon that the Gemara uses, that I think it's Michya, that the Lashon that he uses resurrected him, that he, you know, he made him come alive again, is brought down all over Shas and all over Tanakh. The Chai comes from the Lashon of Refuah, that he had a Refuah Shalema, he davened that he should have a Refuah Shalema, and that everything should be fine. What's the reason why it says the word Shechted, that Shechita? Because when you drink wine, there's so much going down over here by your throat, and that's the Makom Shechita, and that's why it refers to as the Makom Shechita. That's the Marsha's Pshat in this Gemara. Don't take it. He says you can't learn this Gemara, I'll be Pshat, you know, I'll punch a Pshat, that, you know, take it for what it is, because it just doesn't make sense. But we're going to take it for what it is, because why not? Because I'm not the Marsha, and I could do that. So Lamaisa, we have this Gemara, we have this story, we have Rabbah's Pesach, and we have the story. So the question that I wrote on the sheet is the story a proof for or against Rabbah? All right, so just to get ideas of what's going on over here and how you guys learned it up, what do you guys think? Was the story a proof for or against Rabbah? What are you, Jewish or something? No, what did you think? What was your initial reaction? What was your havamina? When you read the story, what was your initial reaction? What was your havamina in regards to is the story a proof for or against Rabbah? Okay, fair enough.
I mean, yeah, something bad happened, but at the same time, if you look at the end of the story, it's not like something bad happened and no one ever drank again, no one ever celebrated it again like that. Like, if you want to come over next year, like, that sounds like something that,
well,
like...
He's bad. No, I don't want to come over next
year. Yeah, I'm not going to come over to you, but I'm not going to do it myself.
Some people say, I saw on the Sefer many, many years ago. I have no idea where the Sefer is. I have no clue. A Rebbe of mine showed it to me. That the Reb Zera, according to the Pashup shot of the story, that he did Tchias HaMesim, the Reb Zera that he did Tchias HaMesim after that Purim Suda was a Golem. It wasn't the real Reb Zera anymore. That Rabbah was only able to make a Golem of Reb Zera, and he lived out the rest of his days as Golem territory. You know, like, he wasn't like a real person anymore. And that's why I said the next year, like, you know, you can't make nisim in your life. First of all, I can't drink because I'm not a regular person, and you can't be mechayim nisim again because, like, I'm already a step down. So whatever, that's another pshat. But there are many different ways that you can learn. You can learn it as a proof for that pashup pshat. If you look at the Gemara, it doesn't say as a question form. It doesn't say it anything like, oh, you know, how could you say this, Rabbah? You know, we have a story that shows, you know, a negative, you know, dynamic to this whole drinking thing. But you also have a negative dynamic to this whole drinking thing. The story does clearly show you that bad stuff happens when you drink. Okay? Very, very bad stuff happens when you drink. And as Rashi says, Lubisume means Lishtaka B'yayin. Here comes the Gemara and the Rashi to explain that where's the Chiv of Mishnah? The Chiv of Mishnah is Mamish to get drunk. To Lishtaka B'yayin. Okay. Shulchan Aruch. Chai Vinish Lubisume, Vipurya Adliyada Benar Haran Lavarach Mordechai. You know the Ramah? The Ramah says, easy way out, go to sleep. Okay, that's what the Rosh Hashiva does. I'm sure he's told you that many times. He's mekayim the mitzvah of Adol Yada by going to sleep on Purim. That's what he's told me many times. All right, but it says the Ramah, the ain't zarech l'shtaga kol kach ela yishta yoyser milimudai. Right, the yishan, go to sleep. Drink more than what you're accustomed to drinking. Drink more than what your tolerance level is. Drink more than what your levels are, and get past that stage. Get a little bit tipsy, and you're good to go. You're yotze mitzvah. You're fine. You could go to Marav and clean up your house and help your wife and help all the people that you're staying by and shalom al Yisrael. But people whose tolerance levels are very, very high, then again, you're not getting that drunk. That's why he says ein tzarech l'shtaka kol kach, because you're not getting that drunk. You're just having a tiny bit more than what you're used to having. Okay, so we all know this Shulchan Aruch. We all know this Ramah. Let's move on to the Rambam. And here's where things get a little bit interesting, this Rambam. The Rambam, according to the Pshat, the Aruch HaShulchan. What does the Rambam say? Is the Rambam saying like Rava, or is he not saying like Rava? What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that v'shoyse yayin achi shtaka v'yir de meshuchas. Okay? Simple understanding of those words are?
Drink until you drop.
Right? Drink until you drop. Okay? It says it. Yishtaka ad sheishtaka v'yir de. Until you get drunk and you pass out. And you're out. So, again, is the Rambam saying like Rava, or is he not saying like Rava? What does Rava say? Ad lo yada. We don't know. Anybody else?
Oh, sounds like it.
Sounds like the Rambam is saying like Rava. Right? Why?
Just passed out.
If you're passed out, then
you
can't tell the difference. Okay. Anybody else? Is he saying like Rava? Is he not saying like Rava? Say not like Rava.
He doesn't mention
Ad lo yada. Okay. It seems that Rava is giving us a clear guideline. A clear goal of, like, if we hit this level, we're Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says a different goal. So, right? You agree with that? You would say that, yeah, the Rambam doesn't. So, again, there are many different ways you could understand the Rambam vis-a-vis the, you know, Rava and the Gemara. Is he saying like him? Is he not saying like him? We don't really know. You know why? Because, let me tell you something about Rava. Rava says Ad lo yada, but we don't really know what Ad lo yada means. We don't really know what? We never clarified exactly what Ad lo yada means. We never clarified if that means sleeping, if that doesn't mean sleeping. We never clarified if you still have to be drunk, if you don't have to be drunk. Comes the, right? Let me ask you another question. Is this Rambam like the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah?
Ramah.
You just like the Ramah? The Ramah says that you don't have to get so drunk, just drink a little bit more than your talent level and go to sleep in the yotza, the mitzvah. The Rambam says, drink until you drop. That seems a little bit more than what the Ramah is saying. What? Okay, what about the Shulchan Aruch?
Shulchan Aruch says,
drink. Drink ad lo yada. So for those people who said that the Rambam does not agree with Rava, right, which a few of you did, okay, the Rambam doesn't agree with Rava, isn't the Shulchan Aruch just quoting Rava? So how can you say he holds like Shulchan Aruch if he holds that he argues with Rava? Oh, so comes the Aruch HaShulchan and gives us an interesting twist on a possible idea of how to learn out the Rambam, how to learn out the Gemara, and how to understand this Gemara. That maybe the Rambam is coming as a pshat to what the Gemara is talking about. When the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Chai Vinishal Basumi Adul Yada, Binar Ham Labarach Mordechai, it does not say, right? We just said it's very ambiguous. What does that mean? How are you Mekayim that mitzvah? Comes the Rambam and says, oh, you're Mekayim Rava's words by sleeping, right? Until when you drop, and that's it, and you're out cold. That's how you're Mekayim the words. Who says the same thing? Ramah does say the same thing. Ramah says, you're Mekayim the mitzvah by going to sleep. Comes the first this first understanding of the Aruch Lener to bring all three of them together. The Ramah, the Aruch HaShulchan. Who did I say the Aruch Lener? That's because Ehud got into my head. All right, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down this idea that the Rambam is saying very much like the Ramah, and he's saying very much, and he's explaining, not just saying like Rava, but he's explaining Rava. Okay? That's an important thing to understand because now we're about to switch that whole thing around with the second pshat of the Aruch HaShulchan. Right now, I'm really just going through the Maimon Komos because at the end, I want to bring out a certain idea. But and I got to go through all of it just to get the flow. Well, Maisa, what does the end of the Aruch HaShulchan say? What does he say? He says that no, that cannot be pshat. It can't be pshat. The Rambam is not saying, he's not giving a pshat to Rava, and that there's no way in the world that's what he's saying. And the Rambam is saying completely different than Rava. He does not hold Ad lo yada. He does not hold Ad lo yada. And what's the reason why we have this story? Now we understand that the Rambam is saying his own thing. Drink until you drop. That means there's no such thing as Ad lo yada. Let's go back to our original question. Is the story a proof for or against Rava?
Against.
According to the Rambam.
Against.
It's against. Why? Because he's saying, look at this story. This story comes to knock this, to be doichel, this psak halacha from Rava. You know, out of the ballpark, because get out of here. This is a horrible thing, drinking wine, getting drunk, and doing all these things. All these horrible things could happen. Comes the Rambam and says, get it out of here. We're doing this halacha. We don't want it here. Drink until you drop, and that's it. Not ad lo yada. He does bring down a very interesting thing. Anybody who ever learned the drink until you pass out. Yeah. What? That could still be like the Rambam. That's for sure. But it's definitely not saying the pshat of Rava. He's definitely not explaining Rava's adaliyada. But an interesting line that the Aruch HaShulchan brings out is this line of Lot, that in order to get to the level where you do, where Adlo Yada, in order to get to that level, do you realize what kind of level you have to get to? So the level you have to get to, according to the Medrash, right, if you look at the story of Lot and his daughters, all right, it goes into the depths of the alcoholism that Lot had. He was a serious, serious alcoholic. I mean, like, he would be beyond the 12 steps and beyond everything, because there was no help for him. But he got so drunk that he had no idea that he was having relations with both of his daughters on consecutive nights. And he was so drunk that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we all know that the way a person wants to go, a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts him on that derech and helps him go on that derech. Kadosh Baruch Hu had wine. Medrash says he had wine in the mountain ready for him in this cave, that when he fled Sodom, he was able to have the wine that he needed to have, because otherwise, the Medrash says that he was so mubalbal, he was so confused and everything, he didn't know, he was going backwards and forwards, he didn't know what to do, because he wanted to bring his wine with him. He didn't have wine. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wine ready for him in the cave. That's how much of an alcoholic he was. He was mamash ha-mashugan when it came to alcohol, when it came to wine. So that's why I said, Shichus Shalot, that's what it's called. He was such a drunkard, he was so far gone from this world. There's no way in the world that we can mekayim the mitzvah of Adal Yada unless we're that drunk.
Wouldn't you say the Rama holds like Rama? I mean, the Rama is explaining that you could fulfill Rama still without doing what the Chaver says.
How could Rama hold like Rama?
Rama's Adal Yada, but Rama's
not. Well, no, this is the word Adal Yada that he's telling you how you can fill that, those words.
Then why is it a yesh oimrim from the words of the Shulchan Aruch?
Some people say drink until mamash. No, he says no. You can still fill Rava's words. You can still do that without doing that.
Well, what I say, it's sort of like a.
Otherwise, why you don't sleep when Rama? Why you don't sleep?
Yeah, right. The Rama's lost it.
If you view Adlo Yada as our goal of how you get drunk, when you hit that goal, that's when you're mekayim the mitzvah of Adlo Yada. So then,
no, but again, but he could, if he wanted to, he could have said like the Rambam, like we said right now, that he rejects. He's not rejecting Rambam. If you reject Rambam, there's no reason to bring up Aliyah at all. There's no reason to talk about.
I think bringing down the Yesh Omrim, I think that's a rejection.
He's clearly not rejecting Rambam.
He can't be rejecting Rambam.
He says it.
He's rejecting the goal of Adlo Yada as being. I'm hitting this goal. When I hit this goal, I'm the kind of mitzvah. He's for sure rejecting that.
No, that's again. That's, how you interpret Rambam's statement, right? Rambam's statement, like Gemara.
Yeah.
Drink until you hit that point.
Right.
So what is it? So the Mechaber says in Pashut Pshat, which is
Mechaber just quotes him.
Right. But I'm saying, like, we read Mechaber in Pashut Pshat, which is but everyone read it and look here because the Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
You drink until you mamash. You can't function anymore. Which, by the way, you know, it's hard to imagine anyone getting to say like that while you're still conscious.
Right.
But the Rambam says in the end, no. What it means really is that. That is a true din, that's a psak. But you don't have to drink the way we thought you had to drink. It's not so
okay.
Simple.
It could be that he's not disagreeing with Rav. It could be. I'm not saying that. I hear that. But on those lines, you're saying that instead of the Rambam, I'm saying pshat in Rava. Like, the Aruch HaShulchan wanted to say possibly that the Rambam is saying pshat in Rava. Right? He rejects that. So I'm going to assume also that he would reject the fact that the Rama is also giving up shot in Rava. Why not?
Just for the Rama, because the Rama doesn't say what the Rama says. The Rama says you sleep, and by sleeping you don't know the difference between Aram and Baruch.
Yeah.
The Rama doesn't say it. Just to go to sleep. So there's a difference.
I am saying until you go to sleep, so that you're saying because he doesn't bring down the words at all of Rava.
That's what.
Oh, okay. I hear. The fact that he doesn't bring down the words of Rava shows that he completely rejects the words of Rava. But the Rama brings down the words
right.
of Rava, so therefore he's not rejecting.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the Rambam was only saying that in the
Rambam.
Right. Okay. Anybody who saw the cute thing at the end, the Zemer, the song, there's another another way to know that you're really gone on Purim, that you're Mekayim the Mitzvah, is that you can't get to that end of that song, or you can't read it properly. Comes to Beis Yosef. Right? Comes to Beis Yosef, and Now it gets a little bit interesting. Rabbi Yosef, he brings down the famous question. The Rabbeim know this Beis Yosef very, very well. Lamaisa, it's also to drink. It's also to get drunk. So, Mamash, also to get drunk. Horrible things happen. You know, and I'm saying it's very Siyat HaShemayim for the sugars that we're learning. Gili Arayah, Shvichas Dam, and all the things that a Jew has to die for. That's what drinking brings us to. That's what it leads us to. So, again, the Lashon of the Beis Yosef says what? He just says very, very simply, just drink more than what you're accustomed to. Drink more than your tolerance level. Okay? But that seems to say like who also? That seems to say more like the Ramah, not like the Shulchan Aruch. Which seems to be a little bit of a, you know, a stira between himself, Rabbi Yosef Cairo and the Beis Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef Cairo and the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, it brings up that halacha straightforward. Ad lo yada, binar hang lebarach Mordechai, no ifs, ands, or buts, no, you know, asterisks, or, you know, this is what it means, no parentheses, no nothing. Straight up, that's the halacha. Beis Yosef, before the Shulchan Aruch came along, you know, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, comes along and he says what? He says that, that you just drink a little bit more than what you used to. Why? Because it's 100% usher to drink and get drunk on Purim. So it's a little bit of a question over here. Comes along the Bach. Now here's the Bach. The what? And then he got drunk. Yeah, I guess. Comes the Bach and throws, he obviously says that the story is going to be a proof against Rava. He says that clearly. But he says something at the very end, which I wanted to bring out. He says, He says earlier, by the way, before we get to this, he says earlier that what are we rejecting? What are we really rejecting? When we say that the Rambam is Deicha Rava, that there are shitas over here that are Deicha Rava. Not everybody holds like Rava. There are shitas that hold like Rava. The shitas that don't hold like Rava. I saw last night in a sefer that the Rambam Mamish holds like Rava 100%. Right? There are shitas that hold that the Rambam, he just has a different way of understanding it. But I'm not going to get into that now. But he says, what are we being deicha? What are we being deicha when we say we're deicha rava? We're deicha rava's understanding of adelo yada. But we're not deicha rava's understanding of chayiv inish l'besumi. There's an obligation to get drunk, but there's also this adelo yada that rava brings down. Comes the Bach and says we're rejecting one and not the other. There is an obligation to get drunk on Purim. Okay, everybody hear that? Ezra, you hear that? There's an obligation to get drunk on Purim, but there's no obligation to get drunk, adaloyada bin arham and bar Mordechai. And it could be, pshat is because of the reasons that we said in the Beis Yosef, the reasons that the Baralacha brings down. It could be because it's also to get that drunk. You can't, when you get that drunk, it's just going to become a situation where it gets out of control. But he does say here at the end, Miutzarach lishtos harbim limudai shi'itav la b'mishtev yeheshasuya afilu shikr she'eni yachal dar lefei melech rakshay teidai tolav. You gotta get drunk. You can get drunk, right? But you get drunk to a point where you can't stand, you can't speak and stand in front of a melech. Okay? Now, has anybody ever gotten that drunk where you would feel embarrassed if you stood in front of a king? Okay? You can raise your hand. It's not embarrassing. We've all been there. Okay? So, that's pshat number one, okay, in this line. Pshat number one is that we're can't stand in front of a king. That doesn't mean that we don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Of course, we know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. But we're totally, totally gone out of our element that we can't stand in front of a king. We'd push be embarrassed. Says something at the end, Shetei Daito Olav. Then Rabbi Schneider and I were talking about this. Shetei Daito Olav. Rabbi Schneider, you said what?
It means that you're not insane. You wouldn't kill your friend if you were next to him.
Basically, you wouldn't kill your friend. Right, you're normal. Pasha Pshat is that what? That you're normal. You wouldn't stand up and shech the guy. I'm perm by your perm shuda. I think it would be a little bit gross for the wives and the kids and everything like that. It would be a little bit disgusting. You have your head on your shoulders. There are some people, by the way, I've seen people on perm do crazy things. That daito, that ain daito love. They have mamish. They literally, without realizing it, almost killed themselves. But I've told you guys some stories. You know. Anyways. But Lamaisa, another idea that I want to say in the surah is that we're talking about a king. You still, daito alav is that your das is on the king. You can't stand in front of him, but your das is on the melech. Your das is on the king. I mean, you know who he is, you know he's the king, you know he's the ruler of the world, and you even know so much that you don't want to stand in front of him in this state. You don't. You don't want to, I'm pashut embarrassed to be standing in front of the Holy of Holies, you know, in my state. And the reason why I want to say this pashut is because of what we're about to say, coming forward over here with the Baralacha. The main idea that I wanted to bring out with the Baralacha, and then I wanted to get to the to this Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Baralacha says that what's the mitzvah that we're trying to be mekayim on Purim? Mitzvah, Rava says, Amar Rava, mechayev inishal besuva puria adol yada. What's the mitzvah for? Why are we drinking wine in Purim? Why are we getting drunk with wine in Purim? Because of all the nisim. So comes the Baralacha, after he says, by the way, it's totally usher to get drunk, you know, on wine, totally usher to drink, you know, why are we not, you know, talking about that? But he says at the very, very end, that lechein chayvu chacham leishtakar akadesh yehe nisker hanes hagadol b'shtiyas hayayin. You have to get drunk to the point where you remember the nes that occurred through the drinking of wine on Purim. Now, let's take our two extremes. Our two extremes are Ad L'Yada, where you're totally gone from this earth, right? Shichus Shalot. And let's take the other extreme of the Ramah, where what? Where you are sleeping, right? So, are you Mekayim, this mitzvah, on either of those two levels? Are you remembering the nes that happened with wine if you're sleeping?
No.
Are you remembering the nes that happened with wine if you don't even know the difference between Mordechai and Haman? No. So then how could that be the mitzvah? According to the Baralacha, how could that be the mitzvah? It's impossible for that to be the mitzvah. It can't be Adol Yada, according to the Baralacha, and it can't be going to sleep. So what is it? What is it? The Abu Dirham brings down also this idea, he brings down the Makaris from the Megillah, all the miracles that happen through wine. How could it be that we're Mekayim this mitzvah? Okay? So I wanted to say pshat very, very simply, but I really wanted to say that this is mamash pshat in Adol Yada. Adol Yada is not a, you know, that's where we have to get to. Adol Yada is not something that you know, I forget my English. That's not our goal. Like, if we, you know, that's like, if we hit this point, we've now officially been mekayim the mitzvah. What is Adol Yada? Adol Yada is a concept. It's a term. It's a state of mind that you drink until you're gone, right? You drink until you're gone. People think mamish adol yada, and then we ask all the questions on it. How could it be that we're holding? You know, anybody could get to that level? No, you don't, because that's not what it means. When Rava goes ahead and he says that we have an obligation to drink on Purim adol yada, we have an obligation to drink on Purim until we're very, very drunk. Very, very simply. Right? The Aruch Haner said, how could we didn't just use the lashon of falling asleep? Well, we didn't use the lashon of falling asleep because maybe that's not the mitzvah, necessarily. Okay? And I think that's why it's a yesh omrim in the Ramah. It's not something, I'm not going to go against the Rosh Hashiva for even kind of mitzvah that way, but Lamaisa, it's a very, very secondary way to be Mekayim this mitzvah. It's a very, very secondary way to be Mekayim the mitzvah of going to sleep, because going to sleep does not help you be Mekayim the mitzvah of remembering the Nes of Purim in regards to drinking wine. Doesn't at all. According to Baralacha, according to Budram, doesn't at all. So it's a concept, it's a term of getting very, very drunk. And where do we see this? We see this in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. If anybody got to this Gemara in Bava Metzia, it's a very interesting Gemara. Alright, it's very, very, very short. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Bahani Tlas Midi Avidi Rabbanon. You could change your words, meaning you could bend the truth. All right, you're allowed to bend the truth with these three things. What are they? What is that? Okay, b'meseches. That's wiped out over here. B'puria u'b'shpiza. Okay, b'meseches. If someone asks you if you're learning a Zohar Mesechta, Rashi says over there that all this has come to teach you a midah of anava, of humility. That you shouldn't walk around and says, oh, I know that Masechta very well. So you could say, I don't know the Masechta so well. And the truth is, Pshat is in that Gemara, according to many commentaries, that you're not lying over here. We're bending the truth. What does bending the truth mean? You don't call it a white lie, but we're bending the truth because it really is true. I don't know the Gemara so well. I know a guy, a Rebbe in Waterbury, Connecticut, Rabbi Kestemel. It's a huge, huge Talmud Chacham. He finished Seder Nashim, all the Masechtas and Gemaras of Seder Nashim, and his Rebbe asked him, how come you didn't invite me to the Siyum of Seder Nashim? He says, I didn't make one. He says, how did you make one? He says, I don't know it so well. Mind you, he went through each Masechta over 100 times. Okay? That's what his friend said. He went through each masechta over 100 times. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it as well as he thinks he wants to know it, or as well as he feels that he should know it, or as well as other people know it. Is he lying? He's not lying. Is he telling the truth? He's telling the truth. It's all mixed in with one concept. Right? So if you ask somebody, do you know this masechta? Say no. Because I don't know it as well as I'd like to. I don't know as well as other people do. The second thing, Purya. Okay, Rashi gives a different chapter. We're obviously not going to focus on Rashi over here. We're going to focus on the Marsha. What does the Marsha say? The Marsha says that Adol Yada Ben Ara Haman Avidi Rabbanan the Mishan. What is that? Leimer the Lo Yada Gam Imhu Eino Mavusam Kol Kach Biyada. Okay. So what does he say? He says if someone asks you, "Are you Mekayim the mitzvah of Adol Yada?" He's allowed to say yes. Right, doesn't Adol Yada mean that they are completely, completely gone? So he says that you could tell him that you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Adol Yada. Why? You're not lying, because you're bending the truth here over here a little bit. You're just saying that I'm Mekayim the mitzvah of Adol Yada. I'm Mekayim the mitzvah of getting drunk on Purim. Very, very simply. There's a little bit more to say in it, but I'm not going to, we have to go down for the shmooze before Mincha. I told this to my shir earlier in the week also, and I'll just tell you very, very quickly right now, that, again, this is, you could hear this 50 times, you know, and it won't be enough. But Purim is a very, very holy day, as I'm sure your Rebbeim have told you. It's a very, very special day. It's a day where that you could take advantage of the Kedusha that comes down from Shemayim on this day. Anything that you ask for in your tefillos on this day, don't oversleep. Don't oversleep because you danced and drank too much on Thursday night. It's just not worth it. There's a mashal of somebody who was told to go into a room in the palace. And he comes into a room, and the whole room is just full of drawers. The whole wall, everything is just full of drawers. And he comes in, and he came in on an extremely hot day. He was schwitzing. He had to hike up to the mountain to get to the palace and everything. He was dying. He just like wanted to jump into a pool. And what is he comes into this room, and the king says, Whatever's in this room, you can go into, it's all yours. He comes into the room, and there's a little swimming pool, right? A little kiddie pool, right in the middle of the room. And he's like, oh, this is amazing. He jumps into the pool, gets into his, into his boxers. And he jumps into the pool, and he sees on the side, there's like glasses of lemonade. And it's like, he's got an MP3 player, it's called an iPod, I think. Right, and it's there, and he's listening to music, drinking ice cold lemonade. He's like, ah, that is amazing. Comes the bell, okay, your time in the room is up. We all know these mashalim. He goes out. He didn't realize every single drawer was filled with jewels and gold and silver and everything that he could have taken. They're hidden. We don't understand. They're locked up in drawers. We don't really chap what is in these drawers on Purim. But you don't understand everything you asked for. Everything, you're answered with a yes. How much is a different story, but you're answered with a yes, not with a no. Don't forget to bench by your Purim Sudha. Don't forget to daven Ma'ariv by your Purim Sudha. You could be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Adol Yada, even according to the Pashup Shat meaning of Adol Yada, and you're not Mekayim in the mitzvahs of Purim. I'm saying the basic mitzvahs of Purim, which are Ma'ariv, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Bracha Rishona, Bracha Achrona, the things that we have, Mekashi Yatzar after you go to the bathroom. People just don't do these things on Purim. So I give you all a bracha, myself included, that we should all be zochet to be mekayim, not only the mitzvahs of Purim, but the mitzvahs that we have every single day, and the shefa and the bracha that comes from Shemayim the day of Purim should all be mekabel from all of us.